Good morning. Today, we want to learn from the book of Judges. Please open your Bible to Judges chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Judges 17, 1 through 6. Now, a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make an image overlaid with silver. I will give it back to you." So after he returned the silver to his mother, she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith who used them to make the idol. And it was put in Micah's house. Now this man, Micah, had a shrine, and he made an effort and some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. According to the book of Judges, after Joshua died, Israel was in turmoil with no leader to succeed him. The book of Judges describes how each time a crisis occurred in Israel, God raised up a king to lead Israel in a faithful manner. However, the people's confusing situation during the time of the judges could not be resolved. And instead of being resolved, it became worse and worse. Today's text, which is chapter 17, is a story of a family living in the mountainous region of Ephraim. Verse 6 says, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." First, this is a verse that represents basically the whole of Judges. So let us consider the meaning of the phrase, "as they saw fit," through Micah's family. Verse 2 of today's passage says, "Micah said to his mother, 'The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you, and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it.'" Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." So that's what it says. Let's try to learn from this part. Micah and his family were believers in God. And the 1,100 pieces of silver Micah stole is a lot of money at that time. If we look at verse 10, we can say that one Levite's annual income was 10 pieces of silver. So the amount of silver Micah stole was equivalent to 110 times one person's annual income. So it was natural for the mother to be angry at this theft. So she cursed the perpetrator with her anger. Then when she found out that the person who stole it was her own son, Micah, she immediately replaced the curse with a blessing in the name of God. from this we see that Micah's family was wealthy, and that Micah's mother was a very quick forgiver. She quickly forgave her son's sin of theft. This does not mean that such forgiveness is a good thing. The Ten Commandments includes the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." These people were Israelites, so of course they should know all the Ten Commandments. The sin of stealing was committed by her son, yet Micah's mother was very quick to declare the forgiveness of her son's theft and restored her relationship with him in the name of God. Micah's mother omitted an important thing in this quick process. That is her son's repentance and the difficulty that comes with repentance. Repentance involves our painful emotions. Along with the admission of wrongdoing, there must be a process of looking long and hard at our sins and recognizing what we have done wrong in our hearts. Repentance of sin is admitting before God and others that what we used to think was right was actually wrong. So, in this process, our pride is usually hurt, and feelings of shame and embarrassment arise. Repentance is never pleasant. But the important thing is that because of this process of turning to God for forgiveness, we come to know God in abundance, and we can build a deeper trust with God. If we go too far into this process and forget God who forgives us, and if we become too critical about ourselves, that is not good. However, taking a long, hard look at our own sins, confessing and repenting before the Lord, while remembering God's love, is a necessary yet psychologically painful process. It is never easy. It is the same between human beings. So, Micah's mother omitted this process. Micah was quickly forgiven. In fact, the blessings proclaimed for Micah were too quick. She declared the restoration of her relationship with him in God's name too easily. Then in verse 3, Micah's mother said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord." These words sound nice at first glance, but what she was offering to God was a sculpture, a graven image, a cast image. As you know, this is a violation of the second of the Ten Commandments. Words like "consecrate my silver to the Lord" are all nice words, but she actually ignored the Ten Commandments, which are the most important commandments to keep. Next, I would like to talk about graven images and cast images Micah's mother was trying to create. These are usually called idols. If we look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below." This verse from Exodus is directly related to verse 4 in today's passage. Graven images and cast images are usually called idols. How should we define an idol? One book says that what we value more than God is an idol. I think that is exactly right. How about you? Gods that Gentiles served. Images of frogs or eagles? Or do you value people or money more than God? So all sorts of things could be idols, things that we value more than God. Now I would like to talk more about graven images and cast images that take the form of God. Graven image is a statue made as a result of sculpting a large mass of objects with sharp objects. Casting is a metal working method in which raw materials are heated to a high temperature to make them liquid, then poured into a mold and cooled to solidify them into a desired shape. Speaking of statues, there is one that was created by the Israelites. Do you remember? After the Exodus, the Israelites made statues of bulls while Moses received the Ten Commandments from God at Mount Sinai. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 32, verses 3 through 5. Exodus chapter 32, verses 3 to 5. "So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, 'Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord.'" You see, in this passage, Israelites built a casting. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." So, these were idols. They maybe have trying to remember the idols that they saw in Egypt. And also, interestingly, verse 5 mentions festival to the Lord. And in this phrase, the word Lord is used, and this word Lord refers to Yahweh. So the calf mentioned in this passage was created with the idea of something that could represent the Lord God, the one who led them out of Egypt. They created a calf that they thought best fit the image of God. That's why they made this calf. They were not trying to create a completely different idol that had nothing to do with God, but rather they created something that would best fit in their hearts as the image of God. Therefore, when the people saw that the finished cast calf, they were happy and they liked it and they danced, saying, "Indeed, this is it." But as you are probably aware, God's anger against Israel flared up because of this incident. God did not approve of this. God forbade them to make statues, even if their motive was to worship God. An image can only represent a fragmentary feature of a thing. Thus, an image can express only a part of God, even if you're successful. The calf, for example, may reflect the powerful image of God to some extent. However, it cannot reflect God's love, forgiveness, patience, and many other things. Even if it could, it would only be able to reflect them to a very, very limited extent. So an image can reflect only a small part of what you want to represent. People can create an image of God that they want to believe in, an image of God that they want to see. One can mold a part of God's nature and create a divine image of an almighty God in one's mind. You can make what you have created with your own hands conform to the ideal image that you want. And we human beings tend to do this. I think it was 15 years ago, when I had just become a Christian, I once said to a leader of my former church that the Old Testament might not be appropriate for the current era. That's what I said. I complained by saying, God in the Old Testament seems a little harsh, cold, and hard to understand. Then this leader of this church said, A God who gives you rules that you can easily understand, agree with, and keep is almost like an idol. And Choyon, so this is not real faith. I was shocked to hear that. But I realized later that what this leader said is true. I was very firm in following only the rules that I could easily keep. And I judged others based on them. But when it came to the rules that God gave us that was difficult to keep, I found myself twisting the words and looking for reasons not to obey. I was very embarrassed and felt really sorry to God when I came to this realization. I had unknowingly created an image of God that I wanted to believe in, an image of God that I wanted to see. So that's what I was doing. It is often said that period of the judges is a very chaotic time. The reason for this is that Israelites did not know God. If we look at Judges chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. The Israelites at this period did not know God, not only intellectually, but also observationally and experientially. That's why it said another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Micah's family should have known that God exists, but they were not taught to observe, think, and try to know all aspects of God. They may have known only a part of God that they liked. Let's look at verse 5 of today's passage. Now this man, Micah, had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some household gods and installed one of his sons as his priest. It says ephod and household gods. An ephod is like a garment with 12 jewels that the high priest wore. Household gods are mentioned in various places, such as in Genesis chapter 31. These are small idols that they believed protected the family. So, Micah took what she liked from the Lord God and made it into an image and put it in her shrine. So, they also took what they liked from other gods and put it in their shrine. It is a shrine full of things that they liked, and they worshipped according to their own standard. So it is not totally clear who they're really worshipping. We, as Christians, usually do not make visible idols. So we are different in that sense from these people in the Old Testament who tended to make idols. However, that tendency to create idols, which is the rebellious attitude against God, are actually us the same as our tendency to create idols in our own minds. So, like Micah's mother, it is quite possible for us not to think deeply and to skip the process of looking at the seriousness of our sins. So we tend to do that. So we need to be careful. Sculpture is a method of carving and building into a perfectly formed shape. Cast statue is made by melting silver or gold and filling it with the shape that has already been prepared. Are we not cutting down God's word to make it easier to keep? Aren't we trying to fit God into a mold that we have created? Aren't we sometimes twisting God's word so that it is easier for us to keep His commandments? I thought that these are issues that we need to think about carefully in this day and age. And verse 6 in today's passage says, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit." This part was probably written with King David in mind. Of course, their real king should be God. So the people at this time did not know the real God, the God that who should be a king. Knowing God as our king is not necessarily an easy task, because we have to fight against the belief that we have within us. So it is not always fun. In the process of trying to know God, there are times when we are troubled, times when we are angry with God, and times when we cry. But we still need to face God and we have to follow Him. It can be said that the book of Judges is a continuation of the book of Joshua. It was Joshua's task to lead the Israelites to the land of Canaan. And Joshua told the Israelites about God's commandment, a command to take the possession of those areas where they would live. And then Joshua said the following words. Let's look at Joshua chapter 23, 10 through 11. "One of you routs 1,000, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as He promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God." So, Joshua was saying, you will surely prevail. And be very careful to love the Lord your God. So he was saying, you will prevail, but you have to be careful. I think God was saying through Joshua that be careful that no idol made with your own hands comes between you and God. And that was what Joshua's words meant. If the Exodus of Israel symbolizes our salvation through Jesus, the life after entering the promised land of Canaan represents our way of life after becoming a Christian. The way of life of the people in the book of Judges is often used as a teaching material because they served as a very bad example. Because the people in the book of Judges were becoming more and more corrupted because they lived as they saw fit. Before Joshua died, he spoke the following words to all the tribes of Israel who were about to go to war. Let's look at Joshua chapter 24, 14 through 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if the serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This was Joshua's last sermon, we can say, and Joshua urged the Israelites who are about to enter the land of Canaan to make a choice. And then in response, Joshua received the following answers from the Israelites. Verse 18, the people said, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Verse 21 says, the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Verse 24 says, and the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. These answers remind us the scene where Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? What Joshua was trying to say was love and serve God. Even if you fail along the way, keep loving and serving God. So that's what Joshua was trying to say. That's what he said before Joshua died. Keep loving and serving God. It's not necessarily easy to accept and obey God as he is. We need to destroy the idols that we make. statues and cast in the images in the image of God. Micah's mother's statue was placed in a shrine. If we create an image, an idol, just like Micah's mother did, what shall we do with it? We should not do that. And if we do that, our next generation will accept that tradition. So something similar can happen to us as well. We need to be careful. If we have an idol that we have created, which may represent the image of God, we need to destroy that. We need to continue to destroy the idols we tend to create. And then we need to know and accept and follow the true Almighty God. And this is not necessarily easy. But through this process, we can truly know God and know peace that exists in God. Let's summarize. The period of the judges was a chaotic time. It was a time when people did as they saw fit because they did not know God and did not try to know God. But this attitude in their heart is not that different from the attitude that we often have in our own hearts. So we need to be very careful to love the Lord our God. So what Joshua said to us thousands of years ago is applicable to us as well. I believe that God wants us to be transformed into the likeness of God. This process of sanctification is not easy and sometimes involves suffering that can tear one's heart out. However, let us not skip this process. Rather, let us know the Lord more and more, and we need to continue to destroy the image of God we create for ourselves. The Holy Spirit will guide and teach and empower us in this process. Let us serve God together. Let us love God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you saved us, and you gave us a special privilege to live as your children. And you have given us so many blessings. But we are weak spiritually. So although we say we believe in you and follow you, we sometimes create an image of God that we like. And we do that for ourselves. So please forgive us for this sin. And help us to be transformed in your image. In a confusing period that we live in, help us to follow you, Lord. And sometimes we fail, but help us to remember that you're always helping us. Let us help us to move forward. And give us the Holy Spirit that will strengthen us. And we thank you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.